Okay. So again, I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. I do have a personal relationship, and my wife would get mad if I disclose that. Okay. In terms of Medicare Part D, the intent, as we probably know, is that basically the plans would be offered by private insurance companies, right? And beneficiaries would have options. Many beneficiaries have quite a few options, and some would argue too many options. And through this, because there were a lot of options through which beneficiaries could get their prescription drugs covered, there would be competition. And the benefit of that competition would be to drive down drug prices and therefore lower out-of-pocket cost. Now, you have a variety of different health insurance companies that are in the Part D marketplace. Each company is allowed to offer up to 3 Part D plans in any one region. Okay, the entire country is broken up into 34 different regions, according to CMS. Now, the plans actually have some latitude. Okay, they can determine their formulary with some restrictions, the formulary being the list of covered medications, and they can also determine the drug restrictions. For example, they can impose a quantity limit, a certain number of a particular medication that you can get filled over a defined period of time. Plans can also decide on their cost-sharing structure. Medicare has different levels. You know, typically there's the deductible phase and the co-insurance phase, and then what we've talked about previously, the coverage gap, also known as the donut hole, and then catastrophic coverage. As long as a plan adheres to what's called a standard benefit, okay, they can play around with these parameters. Now, the open enrollment period, since Medicare Part D first came into effect in 2006, the open enrollment period was basically November 15th to December 31st. And that changed as of 2011. And the reason it changed is because Medicare wanted to ensure that beneficiaries could sign up for a Part D plan during the open enrollment period and still give the plan enough time to get the beneficiaries their new enrollment packet so that once the first of the year started, they actually had their prescription drug card on hand and can go to the pharmacy and get their medications filled. That's the intent. Here's the challenge. Number one, many would argue that there's too many choices. Okay? In California in 2012, last year, beneficiaries had 33 different standalone Part D plans from which to choose. And the standalone Part D plans are constant throughout an entire region. California is a region. So anywhere you live in California, you have at least those 33 different standalone Part D plans from which to choose. That doesn't even take into account the Medicare Advantage prescription drug plans, which vary on a county-by-county basis, right? Those MAPDs, which some people refer to as a burrito because it wraps up the hospital benefit with the medical benefit and the prescription drug benefit. So there's a lot of choice. Another issue for Medicare beneficiaries is confusion, right? You have a lot of new plans that are introduced into the marketplace each year. You have some plans that remove themselves from the marketplace. And adding further complexity to the fact is that existing plans can and will change their formularies and their cost-sharing structure each year. And it's why I make the analogy that Medicare Part D is like an onion. The more layers you peel, the more you want to cry. So ultimately, what is the bottom line? It's the opportunity cost, something we've alluded to in our previous presentation, but it's the consequence of failing to annually reevaluate your plan offerings. So this study had a twofold objective. Number one, we wanted to see if through targeted assistance we could lower beneficiaries' out-of-pocket cost. And also, we wanted to see what was their self-reported plan satisfaction with the Part D plan that they were enrolled in. And the way we did this was we actually had a trained cadre of pharmacy students from the University of Pacific that, again, performed the community outreach during which they assisted Medicare beneficiaries. We're from Central California, so our events were, again, targeted to the northern Central California area. You can see that in 2012, we actually went to 6 different cities throughout Central and Northern California. The red push pins represent events that actually were attended at the same venue in both 2011 and 2012. So of the 12 events that we had, 9 were at the exact same location in 2011 and 2012. So I'll talk a little bit about the methods of this study. The first thing I want to focus on is specifically the demographics. And here, you're going to see that the demographics are divided as a function of whether or not we assisted them with their Part D plan in the previous year. Okay, so this was again conducted in 2012. We wanted to see, did we assist them in 2011 versus those we did not assist in 2011. Preferred language. And this is a problem, especially in California. We have quite a few Medicare beneficiaries in the state, and many of whom don't speak English. Okay, and so for them, it's very hard to access some of the available resources. You can see, regardless of whether or not we assisted them in 2011, in 2012, about 3 in 10 Medicare beneficiaries that we assisted, the entire intervention was conducted in a language other than English. Most commonly Vietnamese, Cantonese, Mandarin, and Spanish. And this was done through trained students, again, that were bilingual or multilingual. Another thing is the beneficiaries, again, predominantly, regardless of whether or not we assisted them, mostly in a standalone Part D plan. And prescription drug subsidy status. The thing I'd like to highlight here is that if you look, the percentage of people who did not qualify for Medicaid, who did qualify for Medicaid or the low-income subsidy was higher in those that we did not assist in 2011. And I'll explain in a few minutes why that's so important. One other thing I'd like to highlight is if you look at the prescription medication utilization patterns of the beneficiaries that we saw. For those individuals that we assisted in 2011, in 2012, on average, they reported taking 5.7 prescription medications each month. Okay? Those individuals that we did not assist with their Part D plan were taking a significantly lower amount, 5.2. And again, I'll share with you why that's important. Let's talk about plan selection. I haven't seen a lot of reports on this, but we were curious as to how do Medicare beneficiaries choose their Part D plan? Specifically, what are they relying on when it comes to plan selection? Well, each person here is going to represent 1% of our total population size or our sample size, which is 501. What you'll see is that 4% actually rely on Medicare. So this means only 4% of those that we assisted actually indicated that they chose their Part D plan either by calling 1-800-MEDICARE or utilizing the online Medicare Plan Finder tool. 5% indicated that their plan was selected based on the advice of a pharmacist or other healthcare professional, be it a nurse, a social worker, or a physician. 10% indicated that their plan was chosen because a friend or family member suggested it, and they thought, okay, I'm going to sign up for that plan because someone I trust said that it was good. Auto-enrolled, and here you can see that we have 12%, or roughly 1 in every 8 individuals that we assisted was auto-enrolled. And let me take a moment to explain what this means. If you are a Medicare beneficiary and you qualify for Medicaid or the low-income subsidy, okay, so you qualify for both, basically what the government does is they have a series in every region, a series of plans, okay, and they will randomly assign you to what's called a benchmark plan. Now, that assignment is truly random, which means for the Medicare beneficiary, it doesn't take into account their prescription drug mix. It just randomly assigns them to one of these benchmark plans. Clearly, a problematic approach. If you look at insurance brokers, about 13% indicated that they selected their plan based on the advice of an insurance broker or agent. Now, another point of caution here. You might know this, and maybe it's new for some of you, but insurance brokers and agents actually get compensated every time they actually help a Medicare beneficiary enroll in a Part D plan. Okay? The plan gives them some kind of financial remuneration. That remuneration is not a fixed amount. So what I mean by that is, if I'm an insurance broker, if I enroll you into one Part D plan versus another, how much I'm going to make in a commission is going to differ. So if I have questionable ethics, it behooves me to enroll a beneficiary into a plan in which my kickback is going to be greater, right? Just a point of caution. Other, this is sort of our catch-all, and what this represents is individuals who chose their Part D plan either because they saw a flyer or a mailer or a radio or television ad, or maybe they even sought out the help of the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. So it's sort of a catch-all approach. But by far, the largest proportion of individuals that we saw in 2012, 1 in 3, indicated that they chose their Part D plan because of our recommendation, the student pharmacist recommendations in 2011. And with that, okay, so we assisted a large proportion of Medicare beneficiaries with their Part D plan. We then wanted to look at, okay, does plan satisfaction and out-of-pocket cost differ as a function of this assistance? And this is going to get complicated, so we'll just take it in steps, if you will. I got 3 minutes. Okay. So on the left-hand side, what you see is basically you're going to see prior pharmacy assistance. So this means we assisted them in 2011 with their Part D plan. Okay. On the right-hand side, we did not assist them in 2011. And on the x-axis, you see beneficiary plan ratings. Simply what we ask them is, how satisfied are you currently with your Part D plan? On a 5-point Likert scale from excellent to poor. Well, beneficiaries that were assisted in 2011 with their Part D plan were significantly more likely to report their plan as being excellent or very good than individuals that we did not assist. That's one metric. Now, let's focus on the y-axis, and that's specifically, what was their out-of-pocket cost? What is their estimated annual cost under their current Part D plan in 2012? Here, what you see are aggregate averages for everyone that the pharmacy students assisted in 2011 with their Part D plan. These are their costs in 2012 as a function of their self-reported plan satisfaction. What's telling is that when you look at individuals that we did not assist, you can see that the tan bar for every single level is significantly higher. Why is that important? Because previously, you recall, I said that people we assisted were taking more medications on average, and fewer of them were qualified for the low-income subsidy. So you would expect more medications and fewer individuals that have low-income subsidies, their costs would be higher. But through targeted assistance, their costs were significantly lower. We then divided this even further by looking at whether costs would be different as a function of the subsidy. And sure enough, again, individuals that were assisted by us in 2011 and that did not receive a subsidy had significantly lower costs at every single level than individuals that did not receive such targeted assistance. And the green represents those individuals that did qualify for the subsidy. You can see their costs are significantly lower because, again, the government pays so much of their medication cost. Our conclusion then is, number one, beneficiaries clearly underlies Medicare as a resource for plan selection, right? Only 4% in our study. There could be a variety of reasons. One, most Medicare beneficiaries are seniors, right? The most objective and unbiased way to evaluate plan offerings is through the Medicare Plan Finder tool. But to do that, you need a computer, you need internet access, and you need the ability to navigate the Plan Finder tool, which is definitely not easy to do. Beneficiaries assisted by student pharmacists with their Part D plan selection express significantly higher levels of being satisfied with their plan and also could realize potential out-of-pocket savings through targeted assistance. We had trained student pharmacists doing this, trained healthcare professionals in a variety of disciplines could do the same thing and could realize the same outcomes. Ultimately, pharmacy students and other healthcare professionals can serve as beneficiary advocates by helping beneficiaries with Part D plan optimization and providing ultimately beneficiaries peace of mind. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Free market system, and I feel California supports that.
Yeah.
Why not let the insurance agents do it all?
Why not let the insurance agents do it all?
And you know,
I
understand. My question would there be a way that you might contrast levels of satisfaction with people who use that group with the group that you interested in?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good question. We didn't examine that, but I mean, we could go back and look at that to see if there's differences. I think, you know, there are a variety of resources that beneficiaries can utilize in terms of helping them with their Part D plan. The problem that we've encountered is that frequently they're not objective and unbiased. And ultimately, healthcare professionals are even better positioned because not only can we help with the Part D plan optimization, but we can help with the medication-related issues as we identified on the previous presentation. So there are other cost-lowering strategies that we can implement or suggest that trained healthcare professionals wouldn't be able to do. Yes?
Hey, the two were amazing presentations.
Thank you.
The numbers are very impressive.
Thank you. I can tell you the best part is the students, I pay nothing. So, yes. You know, it's a great question, and I'll tell you ultimately what my goal really is of this program is, you know, currently Medicare provides reimbursement for comprehensive medication therapy review. I think they should do the same thing with a Plan D, a Part D plan optimization, because really you can save so much money, improve compliance and adherence by just a short amount of time spending them optimizing their Part D plan. And the benefit to Medicare, and it's really as a result of the Affordable Care Act, why are they shrinking the donut hole? Because what did they find when beneficiaries were faced with the donut hole? Their Part A and Part B costs, their hospital costs, and their medical costs were going through the roof because patients weren't compliant because their costs were too high. Well, the same thing happens here. If you can lower their out-of-pocket costs, you can actually increase their adherence and compliance. It should be a reimbursable type of service that's provided. So ultimately, that's what I would love to see. Thank you. I'd just like to take 1 second, so I'm not remiss. I really want to thank, I know I acknowledge several people, but there's three people, actually four, one of whom couldn't be here. But Tiffany, Kenny, and Shu, these three students have worked on both of these projects for the better part of a year and really deserve much of the credit. I'm more the face, but they're really the workhorses. So they should deserve a lot of credit for this. And the one student who couldn't make it here, come on. She's missed, but she had her sister's wedding, which is slightly more important.
Thank you.
Thank you.